Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always nice to be here. This is going to be an empowering hour. Lots of positive information so you can live a longer and healthier life. We're going to talk about how South Korea University has a study showing lycopene inhibits the pathway involved in Helicobacter pylori-induced gastric cancer. In lay language, lycopene in tomatoes, watermelons, strawberries, raspberries, red plums, red peppers, that helps you. By the way, it also has very strong anti-cancer properties for other areas of the body as well. That's just one of about a dozen studies, all from respected institutions, all in the PubMed peer-reviewed literature. Then I'm going to challenge many of the talking heads on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, who are making statements that are simply flat out wrong. Now, they may be wrong for different reasons. I'm not questioning their motivation, but what their agenda is. It's just their information is wrong. Now, there's two questions we should be asking ourselves. Where do we want to select our information? Which source? And then, what information are we willing to process? We think that because we hear something, see something, read something, understand something, that we're going to do something. No, rarely is that the case. Instead, we have to first want to know something, be open to processing it through our defense mechanisms, our filters, and then allow it to resonate. Is this a truth that we can work on? That's what we commit ourselves to. That's where our interdisciplinary force comes into being. So just ask yourself, look behind you. That's all. It's this simple, Occam's razor. Look behind you. Over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, over the last half century, who has told you the truth? Or who, wanting to tell you the truth, has given themselves the idea that what they were believing was right and it turned out to be wrong? Weapons of mass destruction, Gulf of Tonkin, invading Cambodia, invading Thailand, invading Laos, invading Vietnam, invading Grenada, and all these other countries. 65 and we've interfered with. Were we right? The answer is no, not once. So when you look at the major issues in our lives, the people that we have trusted, the people we go to, have been wrong every single time. So wouldn't you suggest that you stop and ask yourself, why do you continue to trust the New York Times, the Washington Post, Rachel Maddow, or any of these other individuals? Because they've been wrong. And again, I'm not ascribing conspiracy. I'm just saying that may or may not have been. I'm just saying, if someone's always wrong, stop it. There's no worse example of this than the war on cancer. For nearly 50 years, we have been losing about, at earlier times, a little less, now even more, about, let's just round it off. It could be up closer to about 570,000 this year, but let's just say 500,000 people per year. Now, let's go back 40 years to make it simple. All right? So 40 years means that we've lost 20 million Americans. That's a huge number. Wouldn't you assume that these experts from all the leading institutions, and again, ascribe well-meaning, they want to save your life. I don't question that. I'm taking greed out of it. I'm taking self-interest. I'm taking the political and ideological agendas. I'm taking poor conditioning. I'm taking all that out of the equation. They're simply failing at this level and taking credit for everyone who survives a treatment as if the only reason you survived a treatment was because of therapy, and no scientific model could say that with any honesty whatsoever. So why do we continue to go 100% of the time to our regular doctors, and only when that fails and we're dying do we get the call in my office or any other office and saying, can you help such and such? What's her status? Well, she's stage 4, he's stage 4. It metastasized, they had chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, it went away, it came back, they had it again, now they're in hospice care. then why not look at the people giving us misinformation? I share this with you in the larger context because today I'm going to take you down that road. I'm going to show you why everything you've been told about the COVID virus is wrong. It is a virus, yes. It is not that unique, and it is not a pandemic, and never has been a pandemic. If we stopped testing people for COVID tomorrow, you would see that suddenly flu would come back, which it disappeared, and this would go down. In fact, Texas said no more. And so they use common sense. If you tell us that wearing a mask and social distancing and quarantining will stop the spread, and it didn't, it increased, and you're taking healthy people and putting them in the same confined spaces with sick people, that's the dumbest thing any human being could ever do, and it's never been done historically. You quarantine the sick or vulnerable. You do never, ever, ever quarantine healthy people. My God, Anthony Fauci should be brought up on charges against humanity. This is the single most irresponsible action I've ever seen. And right behind him is Bill Gates. And just think of the damage they've done. But then everybody else comes in. The parasitic industries come in. And now they can't allow you to believe the truth. So they keep just manufacturing like the variants. Where do you think that's going? You don't have to be a scientist to understand. They're going to make it so that you fear the variants. And yet the science has not shown these variants to be worse. It's actually shown them to be less. But you wouldn't know that by reading the New York Times. And so therefore they're saying more vaccines. How many more vaccines? Over 200 new vaccines, mainly for the variants. So will these industries be able to give them their vaccines to you if it's mandated, if they scare you? What if you get a vaccine passport that says you have to be up to date every month on your vaccines, a new vaccine every month? Do you realize how many people would get in line and say me first instead of, this isn't right? We're going to tell you about what's not right over the next 3 weeks because this is leading into something far worse. If you think it's bad what you've experienced with the death, injuries, loss of jobs, loss of the economy in a lot of sections, that is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what's going to be coming at you now. The Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, and all, we're going to expose his ass on an upcoming show in depth, a whole hour. And why you should not believe a thing that this man says, because the media and everyone else has not showed you his background and how wrong he is. We will. We're about to enter a whole new dystopian society unless you're very rich, very powerful, and connected with those oligarchs. And you're not. So you're about to go through the big, I have no rights, I have no freedom, I have no speech. And by the way, if you doubt me, I'll be sharing an article today about a young college student. I believe he's from India or one of the countries around that area. I haven't checked to see which country, but he was in Virginia Medical School, University of Virginia Medical School, and he just decided in a class that was being held with a whole lot of people in the administration on microaggressions, he just asked a question, a simple, legitimate question. I have the question. I have the actual quotes. For that, they threw him out of school. He wasn't yelling, screaming, condemning. He was just civilly asking a question. That's what's happening at universities everywhere. So, that's a separate issue of the cancel culture. So just think of the cancel culture, big corporations, the tech industry, the medical industrial complex, and the American intelligence and police state with our legislative bodies and supported by the media. They're now going to make sure that you have no freedoms, just like China, except what they want to allow. That's happening. Everything I've said has been right. Show me where I've been wrong if you doubt me. Go back. For the last 55 years, over half a century, on every major issue, 351 original investigative reports. Show me where those reports were wrong. 112 documentaries. Show me which one was wrong. broadcast, over 46,000 hours of broadcasting. And yet, people like myself are attacked. Fine. But just remember, where you get your information, what you do with it, will determine your future. Yesterday on the program, for 45 minutes, Naomi Wolf, one of the most respected icons in the third wave feminist movement, talked about how dangerous our country is right now. She's never seen it this more dangerous. She says, we're out of time. We have no more time. Demonstrations won't work. It's going to take legal actions. So we are helping lead, my office, multiple legal actions. And I'll be informing you of those so you can support them if you choose to in the very near future. It's beyond the talking point at this stage. So we're going to get into all this today, all with a positive idea of being able to change. Now, before anything else, we always like to start with the latest on health because it's positive, it's upbeat, it's something we can do no matter what. In this research at Yonsei University in South Korea, they simply looked at the effects of lycopene, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E, lycopene, that's what makes your fruits or vegetables red, on hyperproliferation-induced Helicobacter pylori. That's the bacterium in your stomach that cause ulcers and can lead to stomach cancer. The article was published in the journal Nutrition Research, and it found that it knocks out the H. pylori. Now, there are other things that will do the same, but boy, when you can knock out something that leads to cancer, that's very positive. One more reason to make sure you're making your smoothies, eating fresh, of course, organic wherever possible, grow it yourself, the best of all, or take concentrates, juices, or powders to get this into your body. From Tokyo Metropolitan University comes a study about eating less sugar. Why? Because new studies, multiple studies, show how a low glucose or blood sugar level can assist muscle repair. Skeletal muscle satellite cells found to grow better with less glucose, and that's why people who are overweight, people who are suffering from metabolic syndrome or diabetes or prediabetes, they have a lot of problems repairing muscles that in the normal act of just living get used up or injured. So get off the sugar and you'll have healthier muscles. With the wear and tear of everyday use, our muscles continuously repair themselves, which is good, to keep them in top condition. In recent years, scientists have begun to understand how muscle repair works at the cellular level. Skeletal muscle satellite cells have been found to be particularly important, a special type of cell, stem cell, that resides within two layers of sheathing, and the basal lamina, and these envelope myofiber cells and individual muscle fibers. So when they get damaged, these satellite cells go into overdrive, multiplying and finally fusing with myofiber cells. This not only helps repair damage, but also maintains muscle mass. So, for those of you over the age of 35, you want to keep your muscle mass. You don't want to be inactive. And you want any tears to heal naturally. And they will. As long as you're off the sugars and refined carbohydrates. Also, for those of you suffering or having a loved one that suffers from Alzheimer's or dementia, from the Kapodistrian University in Greece comes a study about higher plasma glutathione. Now, that's created in your liver. It is one of the most important nutrients that your body can do. It's a great detoxifier. And that's why modified fasting and juices plus supplementing with glutathione each day helps detoxify and get your liver into high gear. People suffering from hepatitis, sclerosis within the liver, or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease would benefit from more glutathione. GLUTA, T-H-E-U-T-A-Thione, T-H-I-O-N-E. So that's what this showed, this study. Also, for those of you like myself who really like citrus fruit, the more citrus you eat or citrus juice you drink, best to make it fresh, you decrease the risk of strokes. This is in the University of East Anglia in the United Kingdom. And so we know that the vitamin C is good, but you can take a lot of vitamin C. But it's something else. There are other nutrients, phytonutrients, in the citrus that lowers the risk of ischemic stroke significantly so. And compounds in citrus fruits improve circulation and blood flow. They thin the blood. That's terrific. Now imagine if you took citrus and you took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And this was proven out in a study over 14 years, the Nurses' Health Study. They tracked the diets and health of 70,000 nurses. And they correlated six flavonoid subclasses from citrus fruits, and they reduced the risk of the ischemic or complete stroke. So why an orange alongside that apple each day is a powerful combination. So make sure you're getting your apples and your oranges and grapefruits and lemons and limes. That green apple with lemon, that's a double positive. Because don't we all want to reduce our risk of stroke? And by the way, that's not the only study. Western University in London, Ontario, found that an additional benefit of flavonoid intake, that's your citrus, was the prevention of weight gain. A tangerine flavonoid called nobilitin was shown to reduce the risk of both types of type 2 diabetes and obesity in the laboratory. So, tangerines, yeah, all of that's good. And finally, from Yale University, a woman in her 80s wanted to play with her great-grandchild when they came to visit, but knee pain made it difficult for her. A man in his late 70s said he enjoyed going out to dinner but was constrained by the meal preparation guidelines that he needed to follow because of his diabetes. Both people have multiple chronic conditions. They also have life goals, things they want to do to live their lives fully, like playing with grandchildren and going out to eat. Simple things. Understanding these goals and barriers to them helps doctors align care with what matters most in their patients while eliminating unwanted health care. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So the takeaway message is this, for everyone in this audience. As you age, keep your focus upon what matters to you, because that ultimately becomes the best medicine. Having positive thoughts, doing things that are important, being able to focus upon issues in a good way is always important. You know, just writing something, painting, doing something creative. Break the mold. Get out of your conditioned behavior. Stop making every 24 hours just a ritual of necessary processes that you go through, or conditioned processes and rituals you go through. Break it out. See what can happen then. All right? It's better for you. And now before we go to our break, I'm going to offer a challenge. I'm always hearing the right condemn someone who comes up with an idea on the left, generally. We're really now talking not about left and right. We're talking about corporate Republicans and corporate Democrats. And the two control unfortunately control a lot of the liberal programs or the conservative programs. So I challenge that neither one of them is doing it correctly. In fact, now that the legislative process fully in the control of the corporate Democrats in the White House and the media, all supporting it. And historically, when the Republicans had that power, neither one of them did the following. Now, this is why I say I'm not a corporate Democrat nor corporate Republican. I'm progressive. My ideals are progressive. My life is progressive. What does that mean? It means I'm not political or ideological. I look for the truth. What does that mean? Here are the things I work for. Ask yourself, show me in the media, show me in our body-top politic, where a single one of these 50 things have been achieved or even an effort made at them. Yet we're making these efforts every day. That's what makes the difference. And when they're calling someone progressive, I look at these people, they're not progressive at all. Here's the list of progressive ideals that we in the progressive movement and the independent movement, who's sick of all the politics and compromises and lies and self-interest. Reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act to gain separate savings and loan banking from speculative investment capital. Neither one of the powers that be, Republican or Democrat, have done this or even attempted it. Ban trading in commodities that are necessary to our life, such as food and oil, water, so that you cannot profit at these while people starve or go without. People can make a profit at this, but it should be controlled not by industries, but it should be controlled in a cooperative way as a people's cooperative, much like in some areas of the world today where they have cacao cooperatives or chocolate cooperatives, where the people growing the cacao and processing it are sharing in the profits of that. That's what we should be doing to all commodities necessary to life. Stop the Federal Reserve and put it out of business. All it's doing is printing money that there is nothing to back it up. We say we have a robust new economy. We are in total denial. I have shared with you multiple times. I've published the results. I've written an article on this showing that the United States right now owes over $303 trillion. We have just passed that line of being $28 trillion in debt, just the interest on the debt. And yet people profit from that. We have no capacity to ever pay back our loans. It is not possible. All we can do is simply continue to print money, a fiat currency, and pretend that somehow we are fiscally responsible when we are completely lacking in fiscal responsibility at every level. Corporate America lives off debt. There's a thriving industry in buying debt, buying your student debt, buying your credit card debt, because then they can harass you, they can garnish your wages, they can garnish your savings to a large degree, and they can empty out your bank account. That could have been shut down, closed down, and it wasn't. Joe Biden was behind supporting the credit card industries and the payday loan companies. So tell me one thing, but show me what you do. I'm going to judge you on what you do. We refuse to judge people on what we do. They do. We judge them on their necktie. Don't they look presidential? This sophomoric, imbecilic notion that a person should be the most powerful person in the world because we like the way they talk, or we like them because they can throw a basketball or something. This is just, it shows how down the rabbit hole we've gone in critical thinking. So ban trading commodities. Stop the Federal Reserve. The Constitution said it's the U.S. Treasury that's the only one that has the right to print and distribute money. They could print and distribute money at zero interest. They could forgive all personal debt if they chose to. They did it before. They could do it again. That would reset the average person's ability to go forward and sustain a life. They refuse to do it. Declare a moratorium on home foreclosures. No more people get thrown out of their homes. They won't do it. Forgive all student loan late fees and cap all interest rates on student loans at 1%. Repeal the Bush bankruptcy law revisions that prevent student loan holders from declaring bankruptcy. Review and revise the bankruptcy laws instituted by George Bush, particularly concerning college loans. Create a national food program to see that 16 to 18 million hungry children each day are fed and healthy foods, not the institutional foods that are like airplane foods, that are like hospital foods that kill people, that is garbage foods. But these are all private contractors. De-ghettoize America's program of food distribution, bypassing all corporations and working directly with each community, setting up community gardens and community food banks and community food cooperatives. so nobody in a community has to go hungry. Create a program of reforestation, a Marshall Plan to rebuild our forests to fight climate change. Where is that in the new Green Deal? It doesn't exist. We should be planting every year, at least minimally in the United States, 1 billion to 5 billion trees. If we did that, we could regain carbon capture. We could hire people at a living wage to do that. We could, since all 50 states except Alaska doesn't, and a few other states don't need reforestation, but all other states do. In a lot of places, we're going to have a more rough time, but there are other things other than trees we can plant in more arid communities because we also have to consider water sources. But that would put people to work. It would help slow down global warming, and it would be a good thing. But the government doesn't do that. Understand how corrupt the government is at every level. The government will dictate we're going to spend $2.9 trillion on infrastructure, turn right around and give most of that money to special interest groups who will not do a damn thing for the environment, and then they hire other people to do stuff, who hire other people to do it, who hire other people to do it, and that's why you have the most insane architectural plan in the history of the United States, the Second Avenue subway, the dumbest piece of legislation. It is still not finished, and it won't be finished in your lifetimes. On 9th Avenue in Manhattan, they've had a project going on there for 15 years. They could have finished it 10 years ago. So you do not want these government-private industry deals anymore, because that's all we have anymore. That's why you have so much lobbying. That's why you have over 40,000 consultants and lobbyists and others in Washington, because they want to get the money without having to do anything for it, and it's succeeding. Provide public schools or public lands from, protect public lands from private interest. Put a moratorium, not a single private exploration and exploitation of natural parks, meaning no more fossil fuels, no more mining, no more lumber, no more gas hydrofracking on any public land. Put a Marshall Plan for employing skilled and unskilled labor to improve our infrastructure. Meaning let the local people, let local contractors work together with communities to put in all of your highways, levees, water utilities, gas lines, and bridges. That would support probably another 2 million people. Support senior citizens with free community hospital service and food co-ops. Close and decommission all nuclear plants and shift investment to supporting geothermal, wind, wave power. Ban all private funding for any election. You could not spend a single penny in any election, so the average person could run, and you take corruption by taking money out of politics. A federal review of AstroTurf groups put ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the most powerful private lobby you've never heard of, put them out of business. Close them down. Campaign finance reform and return to manual balloting. Cessation of gerrymandering, and other things that people are not aware of that can make a difference and flow elections to one or the other. Start demilitarization of all of our forces around the world, close all military bases around the world, reduce the Pentagon budget by 80%, conduct an investigation into the influence of agrochemical companies like Monsanto on foreign policy, mandatory GMO labeling, and conduct independent research to determine GMOs' claims of safety. If they cannot be proven safe, then all GMO foods should be banned. Cease gas hydrofracking and offshore drilling. Audit the Federal Reserve and bring in also audits to the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, the CIA, and reduce their budgets to that which is actually necessary to protect America. Do a complete independent criminal investigation of the FBI going back 50 years, and even if people have died like J. Edgar Hoover, if they're found guilty, then let us have a hall of shame for all of those criminals who have used the Justice Department as a way of protecting those who commit crimes. Allow all corporations that cannot be maintained to go through bankruptcy. Do not bail out another corporation. Ban all lobbying. Make it a federal crime with life imprisonment if you're caught lobbying a single state or federal office. Remove, revoke Citizens United. Universal health care under Medicare becomes mandatory. No one should have to pay a penny to go to a doctor for any cause. You eliminate all of the insurance industries. You've just saved about $2 trillion a year, plus an unimaginable suffering of people who cannot afford procedures. Create a national health prevention program. In every community in America, have health outreach that has nothing to do with corporate interest, but rather from good qualified nutritionists, dietitians, showing proper ways of doing it, and their groups, like Dr. Colin Campbell and Dr. Neil Barnard. There are many people, Gabriel Cousins, who could establish a plant-based health program. Open up new communities for returning vets and existing vets so that they have a place to go and get the help they need, not pharmaceutical help. That's killing them, 20 to 23 a day, every 24 hours, 160,000 have taken their own lives. So stop that nonsense. That's just utterly corrupt. Give them humanistic and holistic treatment so they can get back to life. Acknowledge the dangers of depleted uranium in all conflict zones and go in, inform the public, and clean it up. Strengthen laws against hate crimes targeting minorities, immigrants, LGBT persons. Reform our prison system. Let all violent criminals out of prison on work release programs within communities where they live and be monitored so they help return to society. You put them on a program for a period of time, a reasonable period of time, in which case they're able to rehabilitate themselves, give them special counseling, let them develop new skills, and then expunge their records so they can get back into community with nothing on their background. A national program to have potential law enforcement officers undergo psychological screening, and those that have problems do not allow them to serve in the police. Have extensive new programming for every police officer, demilitarize all the police, and only hire people who will be serving in their neighborhoods wherever possible so that there's a community outreach program. They should not be armed to the teeth. In fact, they should be doing what used to be historically done, strolling the streets, meeting every day in a location in every community so the community can communicate with law enforcement to de-accelerate problems, prevent problems, and have extensive classes in how to de-escalate a problem and do not allow people to go for the shoot to kill, which is so stupid, so vile. It is primordial. It is reptilian. I accuse the drill instructors. I accuse everyone who's involved in that program. You are stupid beyond belief. You and your vile beyond belief, because the cop that's going out there and killing a person by shooting him, an unarmed person or a person with a knife, they got a knife, you got a gun, you don't shoot him in the head. Where do you think that works? There's a special kind of place in this world for people who are that vile that they would condition people to respond automatically, and the results are going to be someone's going to die who didn't have to, and frequently who shouldn't have. So we need a completely new program for police. I mean, scrap the old one. It is garbage. It doesn't work. And when police are shown to be not qualified and they have a lot of attacks, challenges against them, then just don't let that go on forever, which is the case now, where people could have 100 complaints against them by the Civilian Complaint Board and nothing happens. Also, strengthen laws that assure the separation of church and state. So there's no more Jerry Falwells, or there's no more legislators going from the Capitol over to multi-million dollar groups that are the government and our taxpayer dollar funds. You can have a right to your religion, and should, which should be protected, and that should not allow people within that religion to influence legislation that impacts everyone. Those are progressive ideals. You could agree or disagree with them, but ask yourself, what would be the outcome of where we are today if we allowed that to happen? And we haven't allowed a single one of those to happen. So before you hear someone called a progressive in the future, ask, what exactly have they done to deserve that title? I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going directly into a few things that I think are important and some voices that you have not heard. And I'll then give you my own intake on one of these in particular. By the way, just so you have it, we have so many people downloading the archives, 63,000 the last 2 weeks alone, that we had to open up a new line. Here's the new number if you'd like to download any of the programs, 631-359-9463, 631-359-9463. Back in a moment, and you're going to hear a 12-minute discussion about the ugly truth about lockdowns and everything being said. It can also be watched on Piran.fm, but everything being said behind this gentleman in this group of professionals are actual scientific articles. Like when he's talking, then suddenly there is the Journal of the American Medical Association, New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet. When he's talking about Anthony Fauci, there's Anthony Fauci saying that asymptomatic people are not going to be your spreaders. So all this is there. Then why isn't the media then challenging it? Look at it. Let me tell you common sense. If masks work and they say we don't have any flu at all because of masks and social distancing, then why hasn't it worked with COVID? Do you mean this virus somehow chooses a different path, that a mask will protect you from the flu but won't protect you from COVID, but it's supposed to protect us from COVID? That shows you some of the fallacies that we're dealing with. But there's more, and you'll hear those in a moment.
Nick, the co-founder of Panda, an investor, a private equity specialist, Nick Hudson.
Thank you, Alec, and I really applaud you for taking that approach to journalism. It's uncomfortably rare in the whole world at the moment, and that is just a terrible state of affairs. Panda started off as a conversation, really, a group of four friends, professionals, economist, a doctor, a lawyer, and a little actuary. What we shared was an observation that the data and the facts, the reality of coronavirus was far, far away from what the media and public health institutions were presenting to the world. And we saw in that problem the seeds of a great tragedy. After some months, we realized that our South African efforts needed to internationalize. This was not a local story, and it was not only about the science. Our advisory board now includes some of the leading lights in infectious diseases and epidemiology, Nobel laureate, and the working team of Panda now spans the globe and includes a great many scientists, most of whom have to be members of Panda in a cryptic fashion. That's how bad the censorship in this world has become. We have believed from the get-go that it was wrong on a number of levels to close society down, and that it has always been time to reopen society. And we also believe that the truth only prevails if plans are taken to bring it to light. Our world is gripped by fear, and that fear is very much the product of a false narrative. When I say it's a false narrative, I'm telling you that every single element of this narrative is false. The narrative says that there's a deadly virus spreading across the planet, that nobody's immune to it, and there's no cure. Even asymptomatic people can spread it and are major drivers of the epidemic of disease. And unless we lock down and wear our masks until vaccines arrive and everybody gets vaccinated, we're all gonna die. And anybody who challenges this narrative is a lunatic, a menace, a danger to society. Hence the suppression that Alec was talking about. But it is, and always has been, absolutely clear to us that no element of this narrative is justified in the face of reality. The reality is that there is a virus. It is having a meaningful impact in some regions of the world. Very few people are susceptible to generating severe disease. There are several available treatments. Asymptomatic people, in a more sensible era known otherwise as healthy people, are not drivers of the epidemic. Lockdowns and mask mandates have been ruled out by pre-COVID science for good reasons. Never recommended. They've been tried. They have not worked. And they have caused great harm. Instead of protecting the vulnerable minority, we have hurt them. This is ground zero for the malarkey of COVID. This statement, the greatest misrepresentation of all time. Two sentences which by themselves are true. It's true that the case fatality rate for COVID at this time was about 3.4%. And it's also true that the flu generally kills far fewer than 1%. In fact, most people would say 0.1% of those infected. Not of the cases, the sick people who arrive at hospital. But by conflating these two separate points, CFR and IFR, Tedros was effectively lying. And this man, the greatest, one of the greatest infectious diseases specialists in the world, picked it up a few days later. He said that this statistic causes horror and it is meaningless. And he's right. 5 months later, the World Health Organization had no option but to publish his paper, which demonstrated the extent to which he was right, showing that the infection fatality rate for coronavirus was not 3.4%, but 0.23%. And more impressively, that for people under the age of 70, it was a mere 0.05%, which is to say negligible. People are also astonished, because the media has suppressed this fact, that in March, the first quarter of last year, none other than Anthony Fauci said that the consequences of COVID may ultimately be more akin to those of a severe seasonal influenza. He was right at the time and has been right ever since, but for reasons that are something of a mystery, he's been wrong in terms of what he's said ever since. The other effect that a flat mortality rate hides is this very impressive statistic that there's a three order of magnitude difference between the infection fatality rate for young people and that for the elderly. Further inflaming the fear is this false idea of a novel virus. The reality is that coronavirus is a very close relative, not even a separate subspecies, a very close relative of the 2003 SARS virus. There are seven related coronaviruses known to cause disease in humans, probably many others, and four of them are in general circulation, annual, pretty much annual global circulation. So the naming of this disease is terribly inconsistent. This is really arose by any name, SARS, a variant of SARS. Okay? It's not novel. But it enabled a further porcupine. I could talk for a whole day on the things that are going wrong in this paragraph here. Maria van Kerkhove of the World Health Organization, a majority of the world's population is susceptible to infection. And that is the first of two key elements that lead to this idea that everyone is dangerous until proven healthy. But we could see as early as February, March, that this was not the case. There was the dramatic tale of the Diamond Princess cruise ship, deadly virus on board, the captain having to attempt a lockdown under conditions where lockdown was pretty much impossible. And what that ship showed us, that Petri dish experiment that was should have been seen as a godsend, is that a minority of people got infected, a minority of those developed the disease, and a very small minority of those confined to the over 65s died. Only 12 people out of several thousand on board the ship died. So that told you very clearly that this universal susceptibility was nonsense. Another thing that makes it very clear is this startling map showing the population fatality rates around the world. And while you can see that in Europe and the Americas there has been an issue, in a vast region covering Africa, Southeast Asia, and Oceania, the population fatality rate has been 100 per million, which is to say there almost isn't an epidemic. To put it in context, in a typical year, these countries would expect to see about 10,000 deaths per million from all causes. So the 100 per million represents just 1% of annual deaths, and probably less than the number of people who annually die from influenza or pneumonia, respiratory diseases. The wheel of published science turns very slowly, and it's caught up. There are now dozens of papers demonstrating the mechanisms and the detail and the extent of this fact, that there is significant pre-existing immunity from exposure to past viruses. And that brings me to the second element that enables this doctrine of everybody being a danger. And that is the asymptomatic driver thesis. It rests on very shaky grounds. I was absolutely aghast to find out the poor quality of the science underpinning this idea. One of the seminal papers involved one woman who reputedly infected 16 of her colleagues while asymptomatic. But a tiny little bit of investigation pulled out the reality that she was being treated for flu-like symptoms. And with that evaporates a substantial underpinning of the whole asymptomatic transmission story. We were quite pleased on the 8th of June when the World Health Organization acknowledged this. Maria van Kerkhove again gets up on stage and says, asymptomatic, the data show that asymptomatic transmission of coronavirus is very rare. Only to be deflated the next day when she was forced back onto stage to walk back her statement, saying that there's still much we don't know, and our models show us that, and so on and so on. It's utter, utter nonsense. Again, Fauci knew this in the first quarter. He told the world that in the history of respiratory-borne viruses of any type, asymptomatic transmission has never been the driver of outbreaks. And again, the literature catches up, and we see that in the real-world data, asymptomatic transmission is not a driver. Moving on to lockdowns, where on earth does this story come from? This man, Bruce Aylward, will go down in history as a criminal of immense stature. He takes a delegation to China, spends a few days there, and returns and says to the world that everybody should copy China's response. There was no substantive reason for him to say that. The entire basis for saying this was the doctrine of universal susceptibility. It was clear that in China, not everybody had died, therefore lockdowns work. It is so silly. Before COVID, this is repeated. Wherever you look in any country's pandemic respiratory virus guidelines, lockdowns are ruled out. They don't call them lockdowns because the term didn't exist. They talk about quarantining of the healthy. The measures that are reported to be ineffective and that should never be attempted include large-scale quarantines, border closures, school closures, mask mandates, social distancing, all of the stuff that we're being forced to do. And the effective measures are pretty much limited to isolation of the sick and hand washing, the stuff we've always done. Again, the literature catches up slowly, and this finding is coming thick and fast. Non-pharmaceutical interventions in general, especially the draconian ones, do not have a statistical impact on epidemic trajectories, whether cases or deaths. And you can even make the discernment that the most draconian interventions are pro-contagion. They actually inflame the spread. Now, we saw this in the data. Months and months ago, in May last year, it was clear what this chart shows you is that there is no relationship between the stringency of a country's lockdown and the number of deaths per million in that country. That statistically is called a paint splat, and it means there's no relationship. A relationship would look like that. It wasn't only in that data that we could see this fact. We could also see it in the individual curves of countries. So on the left, the UK, on the right, Sweden. UK having locked down in a draconian fashion, Sweden having famously never locked down. If you've heard otherwise, you've been misinformed. They have never locked down in Sweden. And a trained statistician would look at those bottom two charts and tell you straight away that there was no regime change. It's not possible to detect the initiation or the suspension of the lockdown in the UK. The statistical pattern is identical to that of Sweden. The disease follows a trajectory of linear decline in the rate of spread as the number of infectable or susceptible individuals gets consumed by the virus. Lockdown has no effect. I don't really like pairwise comparisons. They're not scientifically sound. But when they show no difference, they have some validity. Here you have North Dakota, South Dakota pairing.
Okay. This is just a large group of individuals, scientists, including Nobel Prize winners, you heard, because they are deconstructing the opinions, the biases, the proprietary information, and just showing you good science, what's not working. The media could have done the same. They chose not to, and he's being attacked for being open and honest. And your thoughts, please. Do we not need at this time even more transparency? Because, mind you, everyone that I've had on, every single person has been pro-vaccine, pro-Orthodox science, pro-Orthodox medicine. And now there are tens and tens of thousands of them, and they're all over the place. We're finding them every single day. Not a one of these people has been respected enough to be brought into a discussion with the mainstream media. You won't see them on any of the major programs at all. For example, Dr. Peter Doshi, D-O-S-H-I, an associate editor at the British Medical Journal, published a piece in the journal issuing a word of caution about the supposed 95% effective COVID vaccines for Pfizer and Moderna. Here's what he wrote in the British Medical Journal. Quote, none of the trials currently underway and Johnson & Johnson at that point was not in, are designed to detect a reduction in any serious outcomes such as hospital admissions, use of intensive care, or death. Nor are the vaccines being studied to determine whether they can interrupt transmission of the virus, end quote. Hello? That's the reason 95% of the people are taking the vaccines, thinking it will keep them from getting infected. And yet what we're finding is, all over the world, large numbers of people in institutions like nursing homes who are non-COVID infected, they get the vaccine and they die with COVID. So why isn't that being discussed? Dr. Sinhang Lee, a Connecticut board-certified pathologist, here is still no account for COVID cases in the vaccinated and placebo groups. They can't explain it. So what would it mean if you told people, oh, get the COVID vaccine if you're negative and then get COVID? Well, end up COVID positive. Then people would stop taking the vaccine. So one side of the story is being overpromoted without science, but pure speculation. The other side is being denied. For our WBAI listeners, I'm sorry, but we have to say goodbye. You're going to be doing the news. For everyone else at prn.fm, we're continuing, and I'm going to take calls now at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Also, an Israeli study in January showed that after vaccination, as many as 70% of people can still be infected with SARS-CoV-2. In France, the health body of the country, like our CDC, does not recommend routinely vaccinating those who have already recovered from COVID. Quote, at this stage, there is no need to systematically vaccinate people who have already developed a symptomatic form of COVID-19 unless they wish to do so following a decision shared with the doctor and with a minimum period of time of 3 months from the onset of symptoms, meaning, end quote, meaning people who had developed COVID and survived, now you have natural immunity. So there's no reason in the world you should be vaccinated. In fact, vaccines, after you have developed immunity, could actually put you at danger and even kill you. That's according to the science. Yet they want everyone, every man, woman, child, and baby in America to be vaccinated. This is not science. This is not public health. This is pure exploitation Also, by the way, I'm going to take a call and then I'll take some more calls. Sonia from the Bronx. Hi, Sonia. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for your work. I mean, there's so much information available about what's going on. There's so many sources where we can turn to for actual facts. Thanks largely to the internet, but people choose to do the same old, same old. It's their comfort zone, and they're lazy, and they're just frightened, and they want to follow someone. But, you know, this has been a cover-up since the beginning. I mean, you know, 5 million people walked out of Wuhan, according to the mayor of Wuhan. That was before the lockdowns. Where did those people go? Why weren't they tracked? Why weren't they confined? I mean, they were allowed to travel throughout the world before the lockdowns. So this is not an accident. This is negligence. At best, it's negligence. And also, we no longer hear about the mysterious lung disease related to the vaping practices. People were vaping, and suddenly there was a mysterious lung disease 2 years ago. Do you recall that?
Yes,
I mean,
I do.
These are all. This has to be connected in some way.
Well, it is connected. And you're stating it. For example, right now, Rutgers University is requiring students to be vaccinated for virus in the fall. I believe that that is illegal. I believe that there should be a lawsuit brought, and that lawsuit should be based upon the Nuremberg rules, which, by the way, preceded the Nuremberg trial after Nazi Germany in 1946. This goes clear back to 1911 in the United States, where it was stated that no patient should have any medical procedure done, anything done to their body, without their informed consent. So that is still on the books. That was a Supreme Court ruling, and yet people are not aware of it, so they're not using it. So the law states that no one can forcibly inject anything into you or do anything to you medically without your permission, and yet people are lining up because states and governors and mayors and federal agencies are violating constitutional laws. And that's why we believe that the fight that is most important will be in the court system. And that is already being done. There are lawsuits being filed all over the world right now. And we see these as class action suits, so they'll involve millions of people against governments. So when you start suing governments and you start getting into discovery and depositions, you will find that most governments have been using the same principle. Meaning the World Health Organization got 180 countries to sign a treaty with them where everything has to be approved by the World Health Organization, which is utterly and completely corrupt. In fact, next week I have an article on this that I'm going to be sharing with you, an original article. So an organization that cannot be trusted, headed by a man who has no background in science whatsoever and who is tightly aligned with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as well as China, and are telling the world what you're allowed to do. And that's why you have universal worldwide opinion saying no to no to no to no to every single question that is raised, legitimate questions. Can you show us the actual science before you locked down that the lockdown would prevent? No. So you implemented a universal law, lockdown, closing businesses, and you had no science to back you up. That is correct. Show us the science that masks work before you told people that they must wear them or they could be arrested. No, they had no science. Show us social distancing. That was a 130-year-old study that came from a tuberculosis situation having nothing to do with this particular condition. They had no science. So if you have no science for the backup, you have no science on the PCR test. In fact, in one country, I just read it today, they showed that the PCR showed that a bottle of Coca-Cola was positive for COVID. Well, that's not possible. That shows you how inaccurate the study is, and yet the PCR test is the basis of all of this. And by the way, I'll just give you the quote. This is from, quote, an Austrian parliamentary member exposed the defectiveness of the government's COVID-19 test by demonstrating in the parliament, this is an Australian, how a glass of Coca-Cola tested positive for COVID-19. In the footage from the meeting in Vienna Friday, FPO General Secretary Michael Schnedlitz brings a glass of Coca-Cola to the podium, from which he proceeds to collect drops to use on an antigen rapid test being used on a mass scale to humans. After going to the lectern and starting his speech, the politician sprinkled a few drops of Coca-Cola on corona rapid tests. 3 minutes later, the test showed a result. Coca-Cola was COVID-19 positive. After demonstrating a positive result, he goes on to slam the test as being a waste of taxpayer resources. Quote, Mr. President, we are likely to have a problem now. We have a positive corona test in Parliament. Namely, this cola triggered a positive corona test. I don't know how to deal with it now. With things like this, you are throwing tens of millions of euros in tax money out the window instead of providing real protection for old people's and nursing homes instead of investing money in our hospitals. Corona mass tests are worthless. This was also shown by a simple experiment in Parliament in which a cola had a positive result. But this black-green government spends tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money on precisely these tests. Earlier, a Tanzanian president, Magufuli, a growing suspicious, the World Health Organization decided to investigate the claims of the test himself. He sent the World Health Organization a sample of a goat, a papaya, and a quail for testing, all of which came positive, COVID positive 19. Because of such massive COVID false positive cases, a scandal, the Australian government has scrapped a $1 billion coronavirus vaccine agreement with Australian biotech company CSL Limited to supply 51 million cases of COVID-19 vaccine being developed by the University of Queensland after several trial participants returned false positive HIV test results. And by the way, as a side, Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for discovering the HIV virus, said that when he and other colleagues at the Institut Pasteur in France, they found in the COVID virus, they found HIV particulate matter, which he said this was not coming from nature, this was human-made. Well, if it was human-made, why in the hell would someone put HIV into it unless they had done research to create an antigen that would go into people's body and could make them sick? This could have been weaponized. We do know it was developed by gain of function, which was supported by Anthony Fauci, even though Barack Obama had put a moratorium on that. So you see, when you start opening this door, media doesn't want you to open the door. So they're willing to attack everyone, their reputations, deplatform them, no matter what their reputation is good, no matter how good they have been in their career, you will be destroyed if you challenge any aspect of this. But there are too many people now challenging it. There are so many positive people who are part of the mainstream who are challenging it. So this is not about we in the alternative movement, we some fragment of the mainstream challenging it. This is orthodoxy fighting orthodoxy. Okay? So that's where we're at this moment. Sonia, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time, everyone. Have a nice day. We'll be back tomorrow.